I'm going to keep the talking short today. What I want to do is go over the tools that we're going to use, talk about problems, what we're trying to solve, how developers need help, and how we can give that to them, share best practices, etc. We want to give you plenty of time for hands-on lab. Sadly, the building closes at 5:30, so from 4:30 to 5:30, we want you doing hands-on. Anybody has questions later, they can follow up with us. I'm going to put these slides up. They'll probably be connected to the... Who has an OrgSync account for the student clubs? Nobody, right? Okay. I will make sure that a blast goes out, an email that says where these slides are and what events we have coming up and so on. I've tried in these slides to give you the instructions to reset up this environment at home. So if you've got a laptop and you probably need, it's good to have like 8 gigs of RAM because virtual machines will burn up your RAM, especially if you want them to move fast and have fun. So if you got a good laptop at home or a good desktop and you want to recreate this environment, I've tried to put that information in here, and I put a lot of references at the end so you can find the places that I found all my answers on the website, on the internet too, on the interwebs, the intertubes. Okay, so what is the problem? Websites are continuously attacked, except for yours, right? I mean, if you have a website up, nobody's ever scanning it. Is scanning going on your websites? Yeah, anything with an outside IP, an IP address that is facing the internet, anything that's not hidden behind NAT and firewalls and stuff, is being scanned. And if you're being port forwarded, depending on how that's happening, even if you're inside those firewalls and NAT, you're still being scanned. So we're all being scanned because of the chips that are implanted in our heads. We're all being scanned all the time. All of our websites are in trouble. It's very likely if you've set up a mom-and-pop WordPress site that it's been hacked and owned and already, especially if it's not completely patched all the time. The botnets are doing all the work. It's not some person in the Ukraine or China or wherever sitting there trying to get your website. It's all automated. That first attacked attempt is all automated, so it's very low cost. It doesn't cost them much at all. Hence, it's happening all the time. Why is it a problem for us? Because as a developer, everything's changing so fast, it's tough for me to keep up, right? If I've got a customer who says they want a WordPress site on top of Apache on such and such Linux, and they want 7 different modules in there, and they want it to do e-commerce and 12 other things, then, hi, welcome, come on in. This is the cooking class, come on in. Right on.
Hey, I don't see any spoons.
No spoons. The problem, therefore, is the complexity. One web developer can't know all the answers to all the vulnerabilities and make sure that their sites are completely secure. They can patch. They can hire services that will do file integrity checking and so on, and those are all good practices. But we want to share information because devs are struggling to stay current. We want to share tools. So given time, attackers are always going to win. We want to limit their losses. Knowing that at some point we are going to get owned, we want to limit their losses. These damn kids nowadays... The modern tools that they have, Metasploit and so on, make everything so easy. A suite of tools like Metasploit and Kali Linux will Hail Mary attack. So some 13-year-old can attack the local church's website with a Hail Mary attack, and since the local church can't afford to have a bunch of monitoring services on, they're not going to hear all the noise from that attack. That kid will get into that website eventually just using the tool and not having any training. We're going to play with some of those tools today. DOS attacks, that's denial of service, right? Burns up your bandwidth and so on. All of this is low cost to the attacker. Okay, please stop me if you have any questions. I just wanted to give you an example of, I mentioned Metasploit, that's a tool set that comes in a bigger tool set called Kali Linux, and you can get it separately. These things are legal. It sort of boggles the mind. All these hacking tools are legal, and they have valid uses for white hat penetration testers to use, but the attackers are using them too, and they're all being updated all the time. So these modules, I just grabbed these, this is the current list of modules available for Metasploit on top of thousands of others for the last, since February 2nd, right? 3 WordPresses in there. So if you're running a WordPress site and the latest patch you have on your WordPress site is from January, you're already hacked. Interesting stuff. Okay, so what's the goal today? Developers need help. We're going to show you some tools. There are friendly tools that I think you'll enjoy. And you can get cool t-shirts. And we're going to have some fun. And we're all going to be secure, totally secure after today. So we're going to use Zap, which is the Z Attack Proxy. and it is in Kali Linux. It was voted like number two tool last year from penetration testing tools. And what's really cool about it, I was just talking to a penetration tester last night, and he said, if I get to a customer site, this is a guy who gets hired to penetrate companies, right? If I get to a customer site and I couldn't bring in my software, I couldn't load it on their servers, if that server that I'm on can reach the web, I'll just go grab Zap from OWASP, download it, and run it. It's free. It's very powerful, and it does 80% of what some of the professional suites like Burp Suite do. So cool stuff. So we'll play with that. And I've tried to include links for you guys to get this stuff later. Okay, so OWASP. We talked about gray hats. OWASP is a national and international organization. We started a chapter here at UW-Bothell just because we want to get out the word about security and show the tools so that developers get a little smarter and do an initial attack test on their own stuff before they turn it into somebody else. So OWASP produces a top 10 list, and they have cheat sheets and reference material to help you identify not only the vulnerability, but how to fix it and best coding practices. Cool. You should go check out the site. Look at the cheat sheets. This is just the top of a 50 list of the cheat sheets. And by the way, at this site, they have them all in a PDF book. So a big, multi-hundred page PDF that you can get of all their cheat sheets. And they've got testing guides. Okay. Setting up a test environment. If you're going to do it at home, just like I've done on my laptop here, and I'll show you what I have on my laptop. If you're going to do it at home, you install something like VMware Player. What else do you guys use besides VMware Player? VirtualBox. Anybody else? KVM or what?
Hypervisor.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so any of those probably will be able to use these images. And then you're going to download, you download your virtual environment, whatever it is. In this case, we're using VMware Player, which is free. And you can install it. I'm on Linux. I'm using a type of Linux called Linux Mint, which is very user-friendly and easy to use. And if you're familiar with Linux, you know that there's the Linux ecosystem with different flavors, different distributions. Linux Mint is based on Ubuntu, which is derived from Debian, etc. So it's in the Debian family. Cool. So I can use this command, gksudo bash, and it pops up a little window for me, and it installs that bundle for VMware Player, and I'm ready to go. And now I can put VMs inside the player. Critical. We're going to isolate, because I'm going to download a very vulnerable image later to play with. I don't want that puppy talking to the internet, do I? Why? Why not? It's on my machine. It's going to get infected. They could do a side channel attack, escape my sandbox, attack the chip in my head. It would be bad. Blood comes out my ears. It's horrible. We don't want that. It ruins the new t-shirt I got. It's horrible. So we want to make sure that we isolate our network once we've gotten things downloaded and ready to set up. So I'll talk about that. Okay, VMware Player up and running. I've got two VMs that I've downloaded and plopped in there. Metasploitable, created by the guys who made Metasploit. Just a very vulnerable thing that we're going to play with. And Kali Linux, which is our attacker. So the first one's the victim, second one's the attacker. To install the attacker, Kali Linux, and by the way, we have all of these boxes loaded with Kali Linux for you already. They're all ready to go. At home, in a VM, you could grab either the ISO image, which will give you like a full desktop of Kali, or you can grab the pre-configured VM image, which is just a few megabytes smaller, and it's ready to go inside of a VMware environment. And that's what I've used on my machine. So, by the way, Kali defaults to a root user because really it's an attack vehicle. They don't expect you to use it as your daily computer. So being root user can be dangerous, right? You don't want to normally operate as root. So I will talk about how we're going to change the user real quick. So you download the latest VM, and there's the link for that. The changes we're going to do are add a user. Call it Fred or Sally or whatever you want. And what do I mean by add sudo? In Linux, if you're a normal user, you're not root. You can escalate temporarily to root privileges to run a command. And to do that, you use the super user do command. So we want to make sure that our user, Fred or Sally, who is a normal user, has also pseudo group privileges. Okay, enough about that. You understand the concept. Make a new user, give them privileges so they can temporarily do stuff. Change the root password. We're not going to log in as root anymore unless we need to. Cool? And you should do this on any Linux box or Windows box that you install for your regular thing. Then we do the updates. Why do I want all the latest updates for my attacker box? I want the newest Metasploit modules. All that stuff's going to come to me. Okay? All right. So, here are the settings. I mentioned that you need some RAM for running VMs. It's always better to use more RAM. For example, in this box, I think I got 16 gigs of RAM, so if I gave 2 gigs for each machine and kept 4 for my box, I could have a few VMs running at a time. Since I downloaded a 64-bit image, I can run it at two or more processors. The network adapter that comes with this, it's a VM pre-configured. Hi, come on in. Have a seat. You owe us money because you're late. Because it's pre-configured for VMware, it's already got a NAT adapter set up and so on. Hi, come on in. Have a seat. So most of these settings we can leave alone. Just make sure you up your RAM and maybe your video memory so that it will work well. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is grab the victim image, right? I've got my Kali set up. I've done all my updates. And once I download my victim image, I'm going to pull the plug on the internet. Why? Because once I install that vulnerable image, I don't want to be talking to the internet. Good. Okay, so Metasploitable 2, this is the key document that you want. You want that document because it walks you through it. It gets you started as a user guide. The image comes highly vulnerable, so do not use this on either a corporate network or the internet. Did I show you guys this already? Let's see. The vulnerable. Oh, yeah, I did this earlier. I got my slides out of order. I apologize. So Metasploit, for example, gets modules. The newest ones were those list of WordPress vulnerabilities I showed you a little while ago. Okay, so you're going to install your victim VM. Download the image. The latest is 2012. Does that matter? Does it matter if it's not updated? Trick question, right? This one's supposed to be vulnerable, so it's okay that it's old. Cool. But our Kali, we want to update. All right. So one of the places you can get it, SourceForge, or you can get it at Rapid7, which created Metasploit and the Metasploitable, or I think they also have it up on Google Code. Secure the host network. Yank it. Create an air gap. Don't be on the internet. Do not let the victim connect to the internet just because you don't want to get infected. Don't scan while the attacker is connected to the internet or your corporate network. Why do I say that? Who's used Kali or Metasploit or anything before? A couple people? Okay, so what if you do a scan wide open for any IP that you're connected to and you're on the school's network? He's going to get called on you, that guy working in the IT guy in the back. So we don't want to be connected to a corporate network or anything that we might damage when we're doing an intensive scan. So make sure you've disconnected from your delicate networks or the internet when you run your Kali. Okay, here's your victim. Default login, MSF admin, and password is the same. Metasploit admin. We do have to make one tweak because the database name is incorrect in there for some of the stuff to work in the back end. We just need to edit with, for example, if you're a regular user, you're going to use sudo to elevate your privileges. You'll use something like vi to edit the file. If anybody doesn't know how to do this, I can show you later, but we've already made the changes for you, so it'll work today. You're going to go into that file, which is the one of the applications that is going to allow us to do fun stuff, has a config file, and it looks for a database name. And we need to make sure it says OWASP 10 instead of the old Metasploit. That's just a tweak, so if you do this at home, you know how to do it. That should get you up and running. Let's play with it. I've got a couple of VMs. I want to do some stuff. Let's take a look at what I have on my machine. Hopefully I can do all this without taking too much time moving between things. Okay, if I bring up sorry, I know you can't see what I'm doing. this. Just give me one sec so I can bring VMware Player into your range of vision. Okay, so if I start up my VMware Player, and you can use VirtualBox or whatever you want, I've got my two images here. I've already got Metasploit started, doesn't matter. I'm going to start Kali. I'm going to use Kali as my surfing machine, right? I'm the attacker. I'm going to use the web browser and other tools from Kali to hit the vulnerable machine. And you can do this to test your websites. Anybody ever set up your own little web server, maybe in a VM, just so you could practice building websites? Anybody? Yeah, a few people. So you set up a Linux VM or throw Apache on it, maybe throw WordPress or whatever you're developing in on there, maybe Drupal or Joomla. You've got that VM up. Now you fire up a Kali VM and you can attack your own website. That's what this is trying to prep you for. Okay, so I sign in. Holy gosh, what is my password? So on Kali, remember I said change the password for root and create a normal person? So I gotta log in. Let's see. Dink. So looks pretty easy, right? Never make long passwords, but then if you don't, you can have. Okay. Kali Linux, with all its updates, has all of the latest attacking tools. So if I want to find the Metasploit box, which I'm gonna pop open its window real quick, and I will drag it over to you. There's the Metasploit box in another virtual machine window, and if I just click on it, I'll see my screen again. I was looking at that file that I fixed, the one where we had to change the database. I can get out of that real quick. I'll just hit Q to escape. And now I'll do ls. Where am I? I'm right above the vulnerable directory. So I'm in at the prompt as MSF admin in the Metasploitable machine. That's one window. And if I want to know where that is on the network in Linux, what command might I say to get the IP address? Shh, can't say. Starts with IP. On Windows, it's ipconfig. On Linux, it's ifconfig. Okay, so ifconfig tells me what my interfaces are. First one is ETH0, funny name. Second line down tells me my IP address. Okay, now I go back to the Kali box and I can hit it. I can hit it either by SSHing or pinging or attacking or just browsing. First thing we're going to do is browse. And that address is, where is my mouse? You guys are going to have this happen to you maybe when you're surfing around in here. You're going to get stuck. Your mouse is gone. What happened is when you're in this window, it doesn't support mices. It's not a GUI. It's just command line. Control-Alt gets your mouse back. Control-Alt, and now my mouse is back. And I go up here to the other window, click on that. Oh, what was my IP? 192.168.161.129. Is that right? Yeah. Pink. There we are. So now this browser right here, this browser is hitting the other VM's web server. I can now attack this site. It's just like if you're at home and you have two VMs and one of them is the website you're developing and the other one's Kali. You're surfing your website and looking at it and now you can attack it. Okay, that's pretty cool. I'm going to close the web browser and get back to Kali. Here I am at Kali. Okay, now let's see what my slides tell me. References, that's not good. It's not where I want to be. Dink. Okay. Stop me when I was where I was. We got there. We got there. We got there. Did we get here?
Yes.
We got there. Okay, this is where we were. Thank you for keeping me on track. We could scan some ports. What tools might you use just to scan ports? Nmap. Yeah. Nmap is awesome. So we could use that command. And what was it? 161.129 is the current address I have. So when you're at your Kali box, going to one of the images that we have listed in our VM server, you're going to look for that IP. Right? You'll SSH in. We'll teach you how to do that if you don't know. And you'll look for that IP. And then you can scan. Cool. When you want to see what applications are installed in the Metasploitable attackable victim, you can look in its www directory, because these are all web apps. And here's a cool thing. We'll do this right now. If we go to the PHP info reveal secret stuff page, we're going to see a bunch of information that we shouldn't see. Let me see how many more slides I have real quick here. We'll come back to this in just a sec. Okay, there are lots of apps in the Metasploitable Vulnerable Victim machine, like Damn Vulnerable Web App, and there are admin and password for it. Again, the links that we have and the guide that we'll get off the web will help you with all of this. And to get into the website, there's another web tool in the vulnerable victim machine where we can practice SQL injection, cross-site scripting and stuff. That's the name for it, for its location. You give the IP and that name, and we'll get in and be able to do it, cross-site scripting and stuff. Okay, so that was the end of my overview of slides. And if I've missed anything that you need when you're at home trying to set up, if you have some ideas what I should add to this before I post it, let me know. I'll change it. Okay, let's go back. And let's do this. We're going to hit that PHP info because it's fun. It's fun to hack and see the attack. Holy moly. When I went to our vulnerable websites, phpinfo.php page, would your website that you made for the local company show this? Do you want to show it to the world? No, right? This is stuff that you would not want to reveal. So leaving things in a default state when you set up a web server could reveal lots of information that you don't want out there. Okay, cool. Questions so far? Right on. I've blown their minds. It's awesome. Okay, cool. I want to get you guys doing some hands-on. Our thought was that we would, let's see, how many we got here? It looks about 10, almost 20-something people. We have 9 stations. This one good to use?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We have 9 stations.